We can walk out as people who are free. We've talked about people being set free from prison. And I just feel like I don't got it in me. I can't do that for you. But Jesus can. And Jesus can do that for us. That by his Spirit, he can speak to each one of us here this morning. And he can set us free in places that we weren't even aware that we were bound up in. Or he can set us free in places where we have bound up, been so bound up for so many years, we don't know that there's any other reality. But would you trust the Holy Spirit with me as we walk through Matthew 18 and as God would touch our hearts? And as we do that, I would ask this of you. If God speaks to you, would you choose now to respond? Choose now to respond. I'm not somehow trying to set you up for me speaking to you and say, oh yes, I'll say yes, whatever you say. If God, just settle this. If God speaks to your heart, that at this point right now, God, we're saying we will say yes to what you say to us. Because I believe God wants to speak to all of us this morning. And he's a good, good father and he loves us. And he wants to set us free. He wants to minister to our hearts. But just taking that posture, Lord, if you speak to me, my answer is yes. Because I know who you are. I know your nature, your character. God, you are good and I trust you. And so if you call me to something, I will say yes. Not if the preacher does, not if the pastor does, not Barry does. God, if you speak to me by your Holy Spirit, my heart will say yes. In Matthew chapter 18, the disciples will come to Jesus and talk about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus will call a child to himself and pick up this child and say, if you want to be great, you need to become one like a child. He'll talk about, but woe to those who cause children to stumble. He uses some pretty strong words and strong consequences. How important it is that we don't cause the little ones to stumble. Stumble specifically in their relationship with the Father. God loves his children and God loves children. And Jesus says some weighty words. Then he'll talk about in verse 15, and in a moment we're going to be reading from verse 21 together. But in verse 15 he talks about not just causing a child to stumble, but what happens if there's a stumbling in your relationship with someone? If someone, and he uses the words pretty strongly, he says, sins against you. If a brother sins against you, what you need to do? And Jesus will say, go to them. Go to them and make things right. Don't tell anybody else. Just keep it between the two of you. And if there's something between that has come up, that someone's offended you, go to them and make things right. And if the brother hears you, if the person hears you, then it says, then you've gained a brother. That relationship is restored, that there's reconciliation, and because you're in agreement, you can walk together, and it's just all looked after. However, he'll say, if he doesn't hear you, or if she doesn't hear you, and Norm's just coming in right now, praise the Lord. If he doesn't hear you, then take two or three people with you. Now listen, not to gang up on them. That's not why you take a couple people with you to, well, they didn't hear me, I'm going to take some of my friends, and me and the boys, we're going to have a talk. You know, it's not like that. It's not. Now, Audrey's family's Italian, so I got to be careful. You know, me and the boys, we're going to go. My boy's in Venice right now. But just, it's not like that. Take two or three people with you. Not a whole group, not a gang. Take a couple people with you that maybe you're not communicating right. Maybe there's something in your tone that this person isn't able to hear. Maybe your perspective is off. Maybe it's not just they've offended you. Maybe you're in the wrong. Take a couple people with you that can help arbitrate, that can help restore this relationship. And then Jesus will say, if that doesn't work, then it escalates one more step, and then you need to get the church leadership involved. And it says, tell it to the church. It doesn't mean put it on the church Facebook page or, just tell it to the church. Well, look at how they've offended me. It's not that at all. Involve the church leadership that hopefully that there's some reconciliation and restoration there. And then even if they don't hear the church leaders, then you treat them as someone who doesn't know the Lord. That you're no longer able to walk in Christian fellowship. Well, how do you treat someone who doesn't know the Lord? It doesn't mean mean or nasty or snarly or with attitude. It's we can no longer walk together because of this offense, because this has caused a breach in our relationship, but I can still care for you and I can still be kind to you, but we can't walk together like we did. Peter will ask Jesus, and this is where we're going to pick up the stories just in a moment in verse 21. Peter will ask Jesus, essentially, okay, well, what happens when that doesn't work? Jesus will have said, you get a couple people, those two people who have gone with you, you pray, and if two or three of you agree in prayer, it'll be done for you, and where two or three are gathered, I'm right there in the midst of this, you pray, and Peter says, okay, and if that doesn't work, How many times do I need to go around the circle? How many times do I need to go through this with this person? How many times do I need to forgive them? Jewish tradition would say three. Peter says, what about seven? How about seven? How many times do I need to do this? Jesus, I'll weigh in on this. I'll double it and add one. How about seven? And Jesus has a different, good morning, Norm. Welcome. We heard you were in an accident. Stuck in snow, and you're out. We prayed for you. We're so glad you're here. Right? All right. We're going to keep on going with the sermon. Is that okay? Okay. We're in Matthew 18, verse 21. It says this, then Peter came to him, said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And it doesn't say this, but Peter said, you've got to be kidding. Like, does the quick math. Jesus just said, you forgive him as long as it takes. As long as it takes. And then he tells this story. He says, therefore the kingdom of heaven, because Peter, we're talking about a different kingdom. We're not talking about the earthly humanity kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he'd begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. He's not able to pay. His master commanded him to be sold into slavery, him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, that payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. The master of the servant was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Compassion moves us. Anytime we see Jesus have compassion, it's connected to action. It's not just he felt something, he does something. Master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him. So this huge amount that the one servant owed, and this smaller amount comparatively. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said to me and the boys, and pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. But he would not. But he went and threw him in prison, that he should pay the debt, and his fellow servants saw what he had done. And they came, and they were very grieved. And they came and told their master. It wasn't just that they were angry, they were grieved, they were touched with sorrow. How grievous is this? And they came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And then Jesus concludes the story and he says this, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." For us to walk truly in biblical forgiveness, for us to walk in this, there are three things that I'd like to share with you. Two this week and one next week. But the first is this, is to number one, is to ask for forgiveness ourselves. That's where it starts. If we are going to allow the forgiveness of God to flow through our lives, we first need to come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. That we are the ones who owe a great debt. To be made aware of the debt that we owe that we could not pay, to come before the Father and say, "I'm guilty. I owe a debt. I cannot pay." And we start at that place. First things first, we recognize our need to be forgiven. Scripture would tell us this, that all have sinned. That all of us. That there's not one person who is somehow exempt from this other than Jesus Christ, God's Son. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sometimes we can look around and think, well, this person has fallen shorter than me, or look at what they've done, or somehow balance where we are compared to others. But that's not the scale that we use compared to others. We don't compare ourselves with each other. We talk about God's glory, and it says that we have all fallen short of his glory, which is marvelous news. We're all in the same boat. that we're all the same. Last week I talked about the high priest and the leper, that both needed cleansing from the blood of the Lamb. That it's just all even ground. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the marvelous news is this, is that while we were yet sinners, before we did anything right, God demonstrated his love towards us. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He initiated this. We fell short of God's glory, and God said, "I'll step in." Because he loves us so much. Had he not stepped in, the death sentence on us would remain, because the wages of sin is death. The consequences is death, eternal separation from God, but the gift of God is life. Is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's this marvelous good news that people need to hear, and that we accept. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not something we earn. It's not something that we even deserve. It's just a gift, and he gives it to us. And we need to respond to that gift. And how we respond to that is by confessing him as Lord. Lord Jesus, I declare that you are the Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me. And if I confess with my heart, confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'll be saved. And it's this amazing gift of eternal life that he gives us. And just to make sure we know we're all included, Scripture goes on to say, for everyone, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All have sinned, but whoever calls, all we need to do is call on Jesus and we'll be saved. And it's that place, dear ones, that we start from. We start from this place of saying, God, I recognize, before I forgive others, I need forgiveness. Before I look at their sin against me or their offense against me, I need to recognize that I'm guilty as charged. And I need you to cleanse me. And I'm no better than. I need you to cleanse me. Would you forgive me? The marvelous thing is that Jesus, that Scripture tells us, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God does. He washes us clean on the inside, and we're free, and we're new creation. We're a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new, and it's new life, and we rejoice in that. But that's where we start. The scripture that we read a few moments ago in Matthew 18, Jesus will say the master, there's a day when the master will look to settle accounts. That can be a scary thing. When we hear that God will look, there will be a day when we will need to settle our accounts. But because of the blood of Jesus, our account is declared debt-free. We are debt-free. That we are righteous in his sight because of what Jesus did for us. And this day that we stand before God, we do so cleansed because he has forgiven us, and he's totally forgiven us. Scripture says he casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. And he does that because he loves us so much. He loves us so much that we wouldn't perish. He gave his son. In the video series that we're watching, The Blessed Life, this Tuesday night, the last session we listened to, maybe it was the session before, I remember Robert Morris, who's doing the teaching, someone asked his wife, why do you think Robert's so generous? Why do you think that he gives so much and what he does? And his wife said this, because he's never gotten over that the Lord saved him. He's never gotten over that the Lord saved him. I love that phrase. I never want to get over that Jesus saved me. I never want to let that get old or somehow forget that Jesus saved me. And I'm so grateful. The ransom of a soul is costly. The King is able to forgive. And he forgives us. And if you're here this morning and you are not in right standing with God, in your life or any place in your life, we're all able to say, Lord, would you please forgive me? And he cleanses us. And he places us in right standing, righteousness, right standing with God. But the second thing, Holy Spirit, help us even now. The second thing that I want to talk with us over these next few moments together, we see in this story a glaring truth. If God has forgiven us, who are we to not forgive others? If God has forgiven us, who are we to not forgive others? I am going to suggest this morning that you forgive someone who may never ask for your forgiveness, but desperately needs it. One of the hardest people in your life to forgive. We need to ask God to forgive us, and we need to receive that forgiveness. But then, would you be willing to forgive yourself? Would you be willing to forgive yourself? You are not truly free in forgiveness, in even receiving God's forgiveness, until you forgive yourself. So many people choose to never forgive themselves and to live with the consequence of unforgiveness. Jesus said in this story, if you do not forgive, says the King will turn you over to the, in the story, the person will be turned over to the torturers. It's not that God wants to torture us, it's that living in unforgiveness is torture. Living in unforgiveness is torture. It's pain, it's suffering, it's bondage, it's prison. And if we choose a path of unforgiveness, the pain will always remain, always tied to the past, never free. When you forgive, it doesn't mean that you forget. I could show you on my knee the scar that I have from gashing my leg wide open. Listen, it doesn't hurt anymore. I can show you the scar, but it doesn't hurt. I remember the incident, I remember the moment that I remember, and I can look and see the scar, but it doesn't hurt anymore. And it may be this morning that you look at areas in your life or moments or decisions and you remember it, but God doesn't want it to hurt anymore. Listen carefully. In the story, the person who would not forgive, the King was angry with. The person who was in debt, he had compassion on. The person who wouldn't forgive, he was angry with. It was the same person. In great debt, compassion, moved with compassion. Unforgiveness, angry with. God has compassion on those in debt, but is not pleased when we withhold forgiveness. There are people who have said, I know God has forgiven me, but I can never forgive myself for what I did or for what I didn't do, for how I hurt the people I loved, how I failed, the choices that I made. I'm not talking about minimizing wrong or winking at sin or saying, well, none of us are perfect, just it's no big deal. That's a whole different conversation. I'm talking about a person who lives with an awareness of your failure, a failure or a set of failures that you can never get past because you look at yourself and say, I need to be punished. You don't deserve. You don't feel like you deserve to live free. You deserve to be less than. You're aware that God has forgiven you, and even though he looks at you and sees you as righteous and you acknowledge that, the mirror tells a different story. You remember that there may be even people in your life who remind you that you have failed and that they haven't forgiven you. But receiving forgiveness from God and forgiving ourselves can never be an issue of other people forgiving us or not. It's not dependent on whether they forgive us or not. We need to make the decision to ask for forgiveness and to choose to forgive ourselves. There's not a scripture that says thou shalt forgive thyself. And that's what I struggle even in sharing this message. But I think so strong is this point that you need to forgive yourself, that we need to forgive ourselves, is that it is tied to the second greatest commandment. We love God with everything that we have, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and we love our neighbors. It doesn't just say we love our neighbors. And we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And the first part of that is by forgiving ourselves. Who are you to not forgive? Are we greater than God? By saying, I need to pay for my mistakes, I need to suffer, I need to be punished. I made a bad decision and I have to live with that. We understand there are consequences for bad decisions, but not the torture of unforgiveness. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So we are not to exact punishment, even on ourselves. God's desire is never that we be tortured, but rather we be set free. If you were wondering when to say amen, that was probably it. God's desire is never that you would be tortured, but rather that you would be set free. Amen. Unforgiveness locks us up. If he has forgiven you, who are you to not forgive yourself? It's not an issue of humility. It's an issue of pride. Too proud to accept forgiveness. And I don't say that lightly or unkindly. It's what keeps us from receiving forgiveness. I am going to pay for the mistakes I made. You can't. You can't afford it. You don't have it in your account. You're just like the one who came and said, I'll pay back, just give me time. And the master looks and said, there is no way that you are going to be able to pay for this, so I will forgive you. You can't afford it. You are suffering. You are suffering needlessly, and you are suffering pointlessly. There's no need, and there's no point. You might say, but Barry, it's an issue of pain. I am so grieved for what I've done. I have lived there. Grief and sorrow. You may look, I'm so sorry. I'm so grieved. I can't believe I did. If I had to do it over again. Oh, only if I would have, if I could have, but I didn't. And this is what I'm living with, and there's grief and sorrow. And I acknowledge that grief and sorrow is very real, but grief and sorrow were never places to live in, but to pass through. But to pass through. We experience grief, we experience sorrow, but Scripture tells us this, that godly sorrow produces repentance. And as we repent, we receive forgiveness. And as we receive forgiveness, we are free. And we live differently, no longer tied to the past. Just being sorrowful produces guilt and shame. when you are forgiven by God, and when you extend that forgiveness to yourself, that's when you can really pass on forgiveness to others. Total forgiveness. Next week, we're going to talk about this passage again, specifically about forgiving those who have wronged us. We'll look at things like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Freely we have received, freely we give. But not in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this week, I'm going to invite you to consider coming next Sunday with a willingness to forgive others. Others who have wounded you, others who have wronged you, whether they've known it or haven't. I thought I didn't want to address that this Sunday without any prep work this week. Both of you thinking about next Sunday and the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, because some places are so deep and so hurtful, we need some time to let the Holy Spirit work in us and speak to us and even bring some of us to a place of saying, God, I'm willing to forgive. Just opening our hearts wide enough to say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to consider this. I'm willing for you to work in my life. I'm willing for you to give me a gift of forgiveness for these people who have so hurt me. So next Sunday, we're going to look at forgiveness and forgiving others. I met with a acquaintance slash friend of mine named Marshall. He's in charge of Careth Creek, focused on the family's retreat center. And we were talking about marriage counseling. And they have a program for couples who are looking at marriage counseling. Well, they're actually looking at divorce. And many divorce papers are signed, ready to do that. And he said, one of the questions they ask is, if God would work a miracle, would you come? And they will typically say, if he were to work a miracle, but he won't, all the things. And I recognize that. There are struggles, heartache, sorrows. But the question that they ask is, if God would work a miracle, would you allow him? And this morning, as we consider next week, if God would work a miracle in your heart to allow you to forgive someone else, would you? We can't do it on our own. There's no way. If God would work a miracle, would you be willing to forgive? And so this week, if you would consider that, God, if you'd work a miracle, the wounds, the hurts, would you release them out of prison? And in doing so, release yourself. For next Sunday, for this Sunday, I'd like to pray with you about those two things that we talked about. One, if there's anything in your relationship with God, or if you don't have a relationship with God and would like to begin one, coming before him and saying, God, would you forgive me? He is faithful and just. Anyone comes before him, he will forgive us. But then secondly, would you allow him to work in you that you could forgive yourself? Chris, I'm going to ask if you and the team would come and if you'd start on that. I believe in Jesus. If you would allow Jesus to forgive you, and if you would allow, I'm going to pray a gift of grace on your life for you to be able to forgive yourself. Joshua 5:9 tells us this. When Joshua entered the promised land, crossed through the Jordan River, circumcised all the generation that had not been circumcised in the wilderness, remembered the covenant of God. Remembered the covenant. Circumcision is a sign of the covenant. at that moment, Joshua 5:9, God says this to Joshua, "This day I have taken away the reproach of Egypt." In fact, it says, "I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt," and they named the place Gilgal, which means rolling away. I have rolled away. It literally has to do with a stone, a round circular stone that has been rolled away. This was 40 years, more than 40 years since they left Egypt and wandered in the wilderness. It was more than 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and finally they get into the promised land, and God says, "This day I've taken away the shame. This day I've taken away the reproach. This day, this moment, you're set free. I have rolled the stone away." And this morning, dear one, I don't know how long you have lived with a reproach or a shame and said, "I can't forgive myself for what I did. I can't be free of that. I don't know the pain or the suffering or the struggle. You feel like I've got to pay it and it'll just never be right. And I've just made such a mess." And God would say, "This day, I've rolled away the stone, because there's another stone that was rolled away. And Jesus rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead can set you free today. This day, the reproach is gone. This day, we will no longer live in shame of the past. We've been set free. We've been forgiven." Jesus, we come to you this morning with a grateful, grateful, grateful heart.
Yes.
Thank you that you paid the price for us. You paid the penalty for our sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ, you died for us. And so, Jesus, at this moment, your word says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we'll be saved, that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved and receive the free gift of salvation. Jesus, save us now, we pray, from our sin. Dear ones, if that's a prayer that you've never prayed, now's the time. If there are things in your life and you just need to be cleansed, just ask the Lord, "God, forgive me. Forgive me for this thought or this attitude." Receive His forgiveness. Be washed whiter than snow. God, we turn away from our sin and we turn to you. And we receive that and we declare that that's done because of Jesus, what you've done. Father, I pray for each person here now for a gift of great grace to forgive themselves. Those who have been locked up and bound in what the past, the decisions they made, the confusion that they were in, that the decisions that they made, the things that they did, that they think they can never be free of. God, we lay the axe to that root in Jesus' name, and we declare that they are forgiven, that we are forgiven. God, and I pray for a great gift of grace that each person here would be able to forgive themselves, because your word tells us if we retain the sins of any, they'll be retained. If we forgive those, they'll be forgiven. God, we choose to forgive ourselves and no longer live under the punishment, the weight, the shame, and the reproach that you have rolled away because of the power of the resurrection over death, hell, and the grave. We no longer live in that death, hell, and grave of that mistake, of those decisions, of those wounds. We declare that we receive your forgiveness, and we declare over our lives that we are forgiven.